So we're going to continue in 1 John chapter 4, where we picked up, left off last week, and we're going to pick up in verse 7 of 1 John. And today, I believe this part of the passage, John is trying to help us do two things. He's showing us how to know God through love, and how to see God through love. Knowing God through love and seeing God through love. And so the first part is knowing God through love. I believe these passages, these verses in 7 through 11, that's what he's trying to get us to see or to understand, is knowing God through love. And verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Think about that. First of all, he says, love one another, because love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. This is really what John is saying, is if you have love, if you are love, you know God and you're born of God. And that's an evidence of it. Love is an evidence of it. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 4, he says this: "I do not want you to be ignorant." Well, let me back up. Verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." So John is saying, I shouldn't need to write this to you, because you've been taught by God to love one another. And he says, "Indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." In other words, go beyond what you're just loving your brothers in the church, right there around you. Go beyond that. First Thessalonians 4 and 9 and 10 is saying we're taught by God to love. We're taught by God to love. And that's what John is trying to express to us. In verse 8 he says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Now that's a pretty terse statement. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so if you don't have love, he's saying you don't know God. If you have love, you'll know God. Love is the proof of knowing God. This is what John is expressing. Love is the proof of knowing God, because he is love. So that's no problem, right? Knowing God is love. No problem? Well, let's take a little test. This won't be on the screen, but let's take a little test this morning and see if that really is no problem. In 1 Corinthians, we're told what love is. And so let's take a little test here. Love suffers long and is kind. That means suffers long means patient and is kind. No problem? Love does not envy. You know what envy means? Want what someone else has. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up, in other words, arrogant. Love does not behave rudely. No problem. Love does not seek its own. Is it your way or the highway? Ever? Love is not provoked. Are you easily provoked? What provokes you? Or does it take a lot to provoke you? Love thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. In other words, love's not happy about someone else's misfortune, someone you don't like, and they have misfortune. Love bears all things. Love bears all things. Love hopes on all things, and love endures in all things. So, I don't know about you. I think I shared about 11 things there. And if I was graded on a grading scale, I'm not sure I would pass. I know there's times when I definitely wouldn't pass. In verse 9 and 10, he says, "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us." In this. And then he tells us what it is. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, I want us to hold that scripture up for a second. Because we read that scripture and we think, well, he came into the world to save us. Yes, he did. But more importantly is that those last words of that verse, that we might live through him. See, he didn't just come to save us. He wants us to live in him and with him and through him. God's love was manifested through Jesus. In Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Can we put that back up, please? Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his love for us. He demonstrated his love in the fact that Christ died for us. Christ died for us. In verse 10, he says, of 1 John, he says, "In this love," the love that God demonstrated for us, "in this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Propitiation is just a big long word for substitute or substitution. To be the substitute for our sins. And he says, not that we love God. You see, we come to this world not loving God, not knowing God. And we don't come to love God first. God loves us. We love him because he first loves us. And he demonstrated first his love for us through Jesus Christ. That's Jesus is the demonstration of his love. And his love for us. Titus chapter 3. Verse 4. "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." According to his mercy, because of his mercy, he saved us. "Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." The love that he demonstrated for us, God's love toward us, was not because of our works, not because we deserved it, not because we were good, not by works of righteousness. In other words, not by anything that we can do. It was His grace. It was His love. His love for mankind demonstrated toward us. Demonstrated toward us. Washing us through regeneration and renewing us by the Holy Spirit. In verse 11, he says, "Beloved, if God so loved us," so John lays out how God's love, how we can know God's love, know God through His love. Then he says, "If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." You see, that takes away all the excuses. It takes away all the excuses that we have for not loving. And we have many of them, don't we? We do. We have many of them. What John is telling us is since God had compassion for you, you should also have the same love for others. Amen. And it's not a suggestion. It's a command. Yes. And so John lays out that we can know God through love, through His love. We can know God through receiving the gift of salvation. We can know God through allowing that love, His love, to move through us, to others, to love others. So we know God through love, but we can also see God through love. We see God through love. Verse 12, "No one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected or completed in us." So no one has seen God. You know, we don't see God in the physical, yet we do see God. Amen. And He's going to tell us how. We see Him when His love is moving in us, or in people and through people. That's how we see Him. We see His Spirit, because His Spirit confirms His presence in your life. And if you aren't connected in a real relationship, you know it. You really know it. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this, verse 13, we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit, who confirms everything. Confirms everything. In John chapter 1, verse 14. Well, let me go back to 1 John first. Verse 14 says this: "We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world." John's saying we've seen it, and we're testifying that Jesus came as the Savior of the world. So what really is he testifying of? He's testifying of this, John 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what they're testifying to. "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This is what John says we're testifying to, because we've seen it and we testify to it. In John 3:17, it says, Jesus said, "God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Saved. Jesus came to save people from the devil, from themselves. You do know we need saving from ourselves, right? From sin and from spiritual death. Jesus came to save us from those things. And as Jesus' love transforms people, we see God in that way. When we see God transforming people's lives, that's how we physically witness and see God's love, as He transforms people and changes people's lives. In Luke chapter 12, verse 8, Jesus says, "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." Doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. But I want to ask you a question. How often do you deny Him? How often do you deny Him? You know, you might not say, "I don't believe in Jesus," or "I don't think He is this or that." That's not what I'm talking about. You know, there's many ways to deny Him without even opening your mouth. When you're in a conversation, when you're in a situation where there's a discussion or something being said, and you have the complete wide open opportunity to do what John said, I testify to who He is. To say, well, this is what God's Word says, or this is what He's done in my life. But you take a pass because you don't want to make somebody uncomfortable. Is that not a form of denial? He says, if you deny me before men. And you see that, I think if we stop and think about it and examine our lives, there's many times that we deny Him. There's many times in our day-to-day life that we deny Him. And I believe that's what John is trying to get us to see. 1 John 4 and verse 16. I don't know why my pages won't turn this morning, but anyway. Verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." It's reciprocal. You abide in his love, he will abide in you. But there's key words there in that verse. He says, "We have known and believed the love that God has for us." John says we've known and we've believed the love that God has for us. Know and believe. Know and believe. Know and believe. You see, knowledge must be accompanied by faith in order to receive and experience His love. Let me say that again. Knowledge must be accompanied by faith. Knowledge must be accompanied by faith in order to receive and to know His love. If you operate in love, you're abiding in Him, and He is living in you. But knowledge must be accompanied by faith in order to receive and experience His love. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Boldness in the day of judgment. When His love is completed in us, we're abiding in Him. The completion of His love is that we are abiding in Him, and therefore His love can be completed in us, and we will have boldness in the day. We'll have boldness every day. If we're abiding in Him and His love is abiding in us, we'll have a boldness every day. It will be a holy boldness to testify of Him and testify to Him with love and in love. In chapter 2, of 1 John in verse 28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." We talked about this a few weeks ago. If we're abiding in him, he says, abide in him, so that when he appears, when Jesus comes back, we'll have confidence before him, in him, and we won't be ashamed before him when he comes. And I think I asked us this a couple of weeks ago. If he came back right now, how would you feel about your relationship with him? If he came back right now. Think about that. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. There's no fear in love. You see, it matches up with what he just said about the boldness, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And when we're abiding in him and he's abiding in us, his love is abiding in us, we're abiding in his love and we're operating in his love, not only is there a boldness, there's no fear. Do you see how those connect? There's no fear. There's no fear in love. Why? Because he says perfect love, which is God's love, drives out fear. Now, when we think of fear, we might think of a threat, something threatening us. But I don't believe that's the fear he's talking about. I believe he's talking about the fear of being a professing witness to his love. Because you see, when his love is completed in us, his love drives out any fear of being a witness for him. Amen. There's no fear. Perfect love, God's love, casts out fear. There's no fear of people. There's no fear of things. There's no fear of even death. If you fear life, or the things in it, John says his love has not been completed in you yet. You see, we don't have to fear things. We don't have to fear life. We don't have to fear the things in life if his love is abiding in us and flowing through us. Amen. He loved us first, so we must love him back. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. And how did he demonstrate that love? Through Christ. Through Christ. Verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Think about that one for a minute. And you see, you got to have the context of the word hate there. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, I believe he says, what he means there is, does not love his brother. He says, you're a liar. You're a liar. Because he says, he who does not love his brother whom he sees, how in the world can you love God whom you don't see? You see, there's where the supernatural power of God's love comes in. Because we know God through his love. We see God through his love. Amen. It's his supernatural presence in moving and acting. Verse 20, and he said, this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So you see, there goes all the options. Right out the door. We don't have any options. Yeah, but they did this to me and they said this about me. Well, I don't see any exceptions there. I don't see any exceptions. The word says must. You must. And I believe when we look at those, that little test we took on love, I think all of us have some work to do. And I know God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but He expects us to be allowing Him to be perfecting through us. You see, when He talks about perfection here, He's talking about completion. He's trying to complete His love through us. Why? Because His love, that's the only way people can know God and see God, is through His love. And that's the whole thing John's talking about in this passage. You know God through His love, and you see God by seeing His love in action. In action. Because it has to work. Matthew chapter 5. Still with me?
Yes.
Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is speaking. And He takes it to another level here. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Well, that's easy, isn't it? No, it's not. It's not easy. You see, we think sometimes the people get saved and think the Christian life is just one fluffy hereafter. The Christian life is a challenge and it's tough. But God doesn't ask us to do anything that He hasn't already done for us. Jesus said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Do we do that? No, we don't. No, we don't. You have heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. And do good to those who hate you. You see, Jesus takes it to a whole nother level, doesn't He? This makes John's stuff sound like patty cake. For He says, hate, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. See, this is a bigger, even a bigger test than the love definitions. And it doesn't make a bit of sense in our human minds. And it doesn't make any sense to the flesh. But that's why God doesn't operate His principles through the flesh. Amen. He operates through the Spirit. And He expects us to operate through the Spirit. And that's why it's so important, the Holy Spirit is so important to our lives, because without the Holy Spirit's presence and power in our lives, we can't do this. Amen. We can't do that. We have to have the presence of God in order to love your enemy, in order to pray for those who persecute you and spitefully use you. And in case you're just thinking about the world out there, it's written to the church. He's talking to the pew. He's talking to the pews. He's talking to us. Because this is what the church needs to be doing and operating. Among themselves, so that when the world looks at the church, they can know God and see God. And that's what we're called. That's what we're called to. We're called to know God through His love, to see God through His love, and to abide in His love, so that when we're doing that, others can know God and see God through His love. Amen. In us. Amen. Let's pray. Worship team, would you come? So how'd you do as you pray? I want you to think about again, why am I here? Why am I here? Are you here for someone else? Are you here for him? Are you here to receive? How'd you do on the love test? You see, God brings us together to use his word and to use his spirit to reveal our hearts to us, to reveal ourselves to ourselves, to teach us, to train us, to correct us, and to use us as vessels of his love. That's his plan for the church. That's his desire for the church. And so we have to make the correction. We have to move. We have to adjust. We have to do for him, for his glory, for his honor, and because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And he demonstrated that love through his son, Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's where it all begins. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, you really don't know love. And you really can't love the way he designed it. You too. But more importantly than that, a relationship with him, as we read in that scripture earlier, he saves us so that we can live life through him. His life can be lived through you. You come into a relationship with him by faith, believing that he died for you, believing that he was raised from the dead, believing that he sits at the right hand of God today. And you confess with your mouth that he is Lord. You ask him to forgive you of your sins. And by faith, you receive him. By faith, you receive him. Salvation only comes one time, when you truly receive him as your Savior by faith. And the Holy Spirit seals your salvation through that faith. Father, thank you for your word that's always is and will be truth and life and light. Thank you that we can know you through your love and we can see you through your love. Help us, Father God, to do both of those things. To know your love, to give your love, to see your love. Help us to be that for your honor and your glory, because that's what you've commanded us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.